describing many of his government officials throughout the scriptures. And as he does, we find that there is a reason for him giving all these names and details. And we notice that in the Old Testament, when it came to a wicked king, instead of saying his name, he would quite often say the king of Israel or the king of Judah. But in the New Testament, he gives many, many details of these different officials for many reasons. And the Lord has given us these for evidence that his scripture is true, and also to show us how much he loves these officials that he chooses. Now, he chooses some good ones, and he chooses some of the other kind. It all depends on what purpose he's choosing them for. In Luke, the 21st chapter, Luke 21, verse 12, God has ordained that his officials would be taught New Testament Christianity. He tells the apostles, "But before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake." And here's the reason. "It shall turn to you for a testimony." That word testimony is the word witness. They will witness of Christ to these kings and rulers. "Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist." So keep verse 13 in mind. These apostles and others would go before these officials to bear witness to Christ. Now, it may sound strange, but God loves the officials he chooses to rule the nations. The officials may be his enemies, but remember that God loves his enemies too. He is fair with everybody. He gives everyone a chance to obey the gospel. King Herod Agrippa II was one of these officials who came close to becoming a Christian. And we hear first about Herod Agrippa II when he's called to judge the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul had been carried to Caesarea, which is on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, to protect him from the Jews in Jerusalem who were determined to kill him. So Paul used his right as a Roman citizen to demand judgment by the emperor himself. Festus was the governor who knew little or nothing about the Jews and Christianity. So here's the history of the procurator of Judea. First of all, Herod Agrippa I was in that position to judge Israel and to be king over Israel until AD 44. Then several others came in after him, and no, it wasn't AD 44, 54. Then Felix came in, and then about 2 years later, Festus came in as the procurator of Judea. So when Paul was sent to Caesarea, Festus was charged with judging Paul. But Paul did not know the Jewish religion and could not give fair judgment to Paul, and he knew it. So Herod Agrippa II was well known because he was kept with the emperor Claudia. And so he gave Herod Agrippa II small positions, but he did not give him his father's place. So we're turning now to Acts, the 25th chapter, and we'll see what I've just mentioned here, spoken of in the scriptures. Acts 25, beginning of verse 13, Festus explained his predicament to Herod Agrippa II when he came to Caesarea. And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king, saying, "There is a certain man left in bonds by Felix, about whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him, to whom I answered, 'It is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die before that he which is accused have the accuser face to face, and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him.' Therefore, when they were come hither, without any delay on the morrow, I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth, against whom, when the accusers stood up, they brought no accusation of such things as I supposed, but had certain questions against him of their own superstition, and of one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. And because I doubted of such matter of questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters. But when Paul had appealed to be reserved under the hearing of Augustus, that Caesar, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him to Caesar. So here Festus makes it very clear he's got a problem, and he doesn't know what to do with the problem because he doesn't know the Jewish religion. So the Lord prophesied this situation would turn out for Paul for a witness about Christ to these government officials. So Festus then calls all of these other government officials, including the people from Jerusalem. So Herod Agrippa was born about 27 AD, 3 years before Christ began preaching the kingdom. So his father, Agrippa I, was friends with the Emperor Caligula himself. And so his father, King Agrippa I, was one eaten by worms in AD 44. Now, Agrippa II was 17 years old when this happened, but he did not inherit his father's kingship. Claudius the emperor decided to keep Herod Agrippa II at Rome. So this is no small man here. He's well known, and he also knows the Jewish religion. So in Acts 25, beginning of verse 22, Festus asked for help from all the Roman officials in Caesarea. Then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself. Tomorrow, said he, thou shalt hear him. So on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice, with great pomp, and that's the normal style back in that time, and was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains, the principal men of the city. So here all your army is there, chief captains, and the principal men of the city, the rulers of the city. At Festus' commandment, Paul was brought forth. And Festus said, King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, you see this man, about whom the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself had appealed to Augustus, that's the emperor, I have determined to send him, that's to the emperor, of whom, and here's his problem, I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord. I've got no reason to send him. Wherefore I have brought him forth before you, and especially before thee, O King Agrippa, that after examination had, I might have somewhat to write. For it seems to be me to be unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not withal to signify the crimes laid against him. All this translates to the fact that Felix should have let him go, and now Festus had no reason to keep him, except that the Jews were causing a problem. So he couldn't let him go, and he couldn't judge him, and he couldn't do anything, so he is sending him to Caesar. In Acts the 26th chapter, verse 1, Herod Agrippa is well educated in the law of Moses, and notice that the Holy Spirit bears him witness. It's true. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore, I beseech thee to hear me patiently. Now, the background here is that most of these officials are Sadducees. Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection, and they don't believe in spirit, and they don't believe in angel. They're essentially agnostics, or possibly even a type of atheist. So here is this man who is essentially a Sadducee. And Acts the 5th chapter, we see what the chief priests are and the elders. Acts chapter 5, verse 17. Then the high priest arose, and all that were with him, notice, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. So here the high priest, both of them, and the ones who are with him, which are the elders, are the sect of the Sadducees. So what are they doing having official charge, having official charge over all these Jews, many of who believe in God, but they don't believe in God? Why would they be in charge? And why would the Lord use his high priest to speak his words when he doesn't believe in the Spirit or God himself? Nevertheless, God can use all these people, and he can use the people that he chooses today, and he will fulfill his purpose. And so we need to trust him. And even if we think these officials are wicked and of no value, we need to remember who is in control, who is working all things together for good for our sake, and we need to trust him. So here's Acts the 4th chapter and verse 6, Acts 4 and verse 6. Again, the main leaders of the Jews were all Sadducees, and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas. So Annas was the high priest for the Romans, and Caiaphas for the Jews, and John and Alexander, these are two of the main leaders of the Jew, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. So this was the authority in Jerusalem. In Acts the 26th chapter, coming back to Agrippa the second again, Acts 26 verses 6 through 8, Agrippa the second knew about the resurrection of the dead, but like all the Sadducees, he thought that it was an incredible thing. Now, if he had been an ordinary Pharisee, ordinary Jew, like most of the Jews, he would have believed in spirit, angel, and the resurrection of the dead. But he doesn't. And he thinks that it's incredible that anybody would think that someone could be raised from the dead. So, Acts chapter 26, verse 6, and now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. Which promise? Under which promise are 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I'm accused of the Jews, and that hope is the resurrection. Why should it be thought of thee an incredible thing unto you that God should raise the dead? So Agrippa was not believing in the resurrection. He did not believe it was possible. So Agrippa found the resurrection of the dead very difficult to believe. So in Acts 26, beginning verse 13, Paul testified to Agrippa that Jesus was indeed raised from the dead. So this is something that Agrippa doesn't believe in. So let's see how he handles the evidence. Verse 13, chapter 26, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Now we're considering what Agrippa was thinking about all this testimony. So at midday, O king, no problem. In the way, a light from heaven, no problem. Above the brightness of the sun, there's testimony of a miracle. Shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. I've got witnesses, Agrippa. And when we were all fallen to the earth, it made all of us afraid. It was very real. And these witnesses that were with me know it was real. I heard the voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue. So this was not just somebody. This is somebody that knew Hebrew. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And so this then would be hard for Agrippa to accept. Here's this voice from heaven, and other people heard it. And so what can Agrippa say about this testimony with witnesses? And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Well, that would tell Agrippa that Jesus was indeed raised from the dead. Now let's see how Agrippa handles this evidence. So he says in verse 19, Acts 26, 19, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." So Paul was convinced this is the Christ. Why? Because Christ spoke to him 3 to 5 years after he was resurrected. And now he's testifying to Paul that he is alive, that the church is his, the Christians belong to him. So in Acts 26 and verse 24, "As he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice," that's the governor of Judea, the official, "Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." So he acknowledges then that Paul had a very good education. And he says, "With all that education, you're crazy." Well, Paul then answered him and said in verse 25, "I am not mad. I'm not crazy, most noble Festus." So he honors the one that just insulted him. "But I speak forth the words of truth and soberness." So Festus had no understanding because he did not believe God's word, didn't know the Jews nor their religion. So to teach Festus, he would have to convince him that God gave his witness to the prophets, which, of course, would take some time. But notice now, Agrippa was ready to hear about the resurrection of the dead. Why? Because he believed God's prophets. So in verse 26, Acts 26, 26, "The king knows these things," referring to Agrippa. He's talking to Festus, and he says, "Agrippa knows these things, before whom also I speak freely." He was called especially to speak to Agrippa. He says, "For I'm persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him." So he knows these things well. The Lord has given him understanding. "For this thing was not done in a corner." So this is known by many people, Festus, and you're the one that needs to open your ears and hear. In Acts the 26th chapter, verse 27, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." So here is Paul being inspired by the Holy Spirit at his own trial to try to convert the one that's supposed to be his judge. How is that going to go? Well, the Lord knows what to do, and the Holy Spirit knows what to say. So, Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? Well, these Old Testament prophets, the Sadducees did not believe. The Sadducees believed the first five books, or actually the four books of the first five, and that is the law. And that's why they were in the position of the law. They had to have something to judge with. And the law was found in these books, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So they accepted those books of the law, but nothing else in the scriptures. Well, here's a man who is with these Sadducees, and he does believe in these prophets. Now, how did that happen? The Lord obviously gave him understanding, and the Holy Spirit testified, "I know that you believe the prophets." So if he believes the prophets, what about the prophecy concerning the resurrection of the dead? What about the prophecy concerning the kingdom of God that was going to come? What about John the Baptist that was testifying the kingdom of God would come? And what about Jesus testifying to the same thing of the apostles? Agrippa knew all these things, so he was a good candidate to be converted. So here's a marvel then, that he was brought up by the Roman Emperor Claudius, and he had reported now at this time, according to Josephus, to be living with his sister as his wife. So like his grandfather or great-grandfather, he had no right to live with the woman he was living with. John the Baptist told him that. Well, the Lord didn't tell him, you don't have any business living with your sister, but he was, according to Josephus. So what condition was this man in, or what changes would have to take place if he understood the truth and obeyed it? So the Holy Spirit testified he believed the scriptures. So in Acts the 26th chapter, in verse 28, Agrippa knew what Paul was seeking to do at his own trial. And he had humility to testify to everybody else, "I know what you're doing, Paul. You're trying to convert me." Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Literally, when it says almost, and that is in a little a puny amount, a very small amount. You persuade me to be a Christian, and that word is the word faith here. You're causing me to believe to be a Christian. So he knew exactly what Paul was doing, and he didn't use any scorn in this. This is normal words. Do you think that you're going to persuade me with just a few words that you've spoken just now? So Agrippa knew what was happening, and we don't know his real response. But in front of everybody, he's no doubt embarrassed that here's a man trying to convert his own judge. In Acts, the 24th chapter, Acts 24, verse 22, Agrippa had to wrestle with the truth of God like Felix 2 years earlier. Now, Felix did know quite a bit about the Jewish religion. And when Felix heard these things, that is testimony about Christ, having more perfect knowledge of that way. So it wasn't like Festus. He understood. He deferred them, put them off, and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. So instead of answering Paul and the teaching that Paul was doing, he said, hey, you're supposed to be judged by me, not convert me. So Felix had more perfect knowledge of New Testament Christianity. Well, he was the one that could have easily judged, but we're told in the scripture, Felix did not let him out because he was hoping to get a bribe from Paul, and Paul would not pay money to get himself out of prison. So in Acts 24, verse 23, and he commanded a centurion to keep Paul, how? And to let him have liberty. He knew that he shouldn't keep him in prison, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintances to minister or to come unto him. Paul had full freedom as far as who would come and see him and what he would do, where he would go, except he had to stay in this area. So verse 24, after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, notice, which was a Jewish. So how did he know about the Christian religion? Well, his wife was a Jew. He knew well about the Jewish religion. He sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. So God opened a door for this official to hear the words from the Apostle Paul, directly hearing inspired words from the Holy Spirit to convert this man to Christ. But what was his problem? Felix loved money more than he loved the truth and loved God. So Felix literally invited Paul to teach him the gospel and kept inviting him back. Acts 24, 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. Did he understand? Felix knew what he was talking about. Did he believe? Well, if he didn't believe, he wouldn't tremble. Yes, Felix did believe the gospel. And remember his grandfather, Agrippa the first father was the one that was listening to John the Baptist. And Herod, his father, constantly called for John and loved John and heard him gladly and did many good things. So were these officials all wicked men? Well, these officials were very much in understanding the truth that God had given to the Jews and to the Christians. And so the Lord was working with these officials, and you can see how much he's doing to try and convert them. All right, in Acts, the 24th chapter, verse 26, Felix's heart, unfortunately, was like Balaam's heart. He was covetous. He desired to get more money, more things. And he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul that he might loose him. He had to have a reason to loose him. If he gave money, he would have done it. Wherefore, he sent for him the oftener and communed with him, not because he really wanted to know more truth, but because he wanted Paul to give him money. Now, Paul's a prisoner in prison. Where's Paul going to get money to give to Felix? Well, he's going to have to get it from the friends that come and visit him. So Felix knew full well he could release Paul at any time. He didn't fear the Jews. If Paul had given him money, he would have released him. There's no reason for Felix to keep him in jail except to get more money. So it appears the love of money has sent many souls to hell. We don't want to be involved in that kind of situation. We want to love God and his ways and be satisfied with food and clothing. In Acts, the 24th chapter, verse 27, Acts 24, verse 27, the last we hear of Felix is that he was willing to become a Christian. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room. Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. So he still was after money. In John, the 12th chapter, and if Felix had let him out this time when he was going to leave, he would have had to confess he should have let him out when he first came there. But he was embarrassed to do that. So John, the 12th chapter, 42 and 43, many lose their faith because they choose to please men instead of God. And that's what Felix was doing. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Why? For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. We need to love God's praise. And we need to understand when God does praise us. Now, he's not going to have a voice from heaven saying, I praise you. But every time that we obey a command of God, we need to understand God is praising us like he did for the Corinthians. Paul said, I praise you in all things that you keep the traditions that I've delivered to you. Well, then what would God do for us if we keep these commands? And if we study the Bible, is God praising us? If we listen to his command and are convinced, is he praising us? If we obey the command of God and do good and help the poor and love our brethren, teach them the truth, is God praising us? And we need to remind ourselves of this, that God is praising us all the time as soon as we obey the commands of God. So here, this Agrippa II then did not inherit the throne of his father. And work that Agrippa II had to do, even though he's well knowledgeable, it was only to govern a few of the towns around, and then he was given a few more towns by the emperor himself. But seems like nobody trusted him to give him this power. Now, he may have been too kind to be a good judge. We don't know. But in Acts, the 12th chapter, verses 1 to 3, Agrippa's father is the one known to be Herod Agrippa I, who killed the apostle James. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. These were the days of unleavened bread. So what was his father like? Well, he grew up with his father. 17 years he lived with his father. But did that have effect on Herod Agrippa II? And the answer is no. And he learned the Jewish religion, and he married a Jew. So this man did have a good chance to obey the gospel. And John, the 12th chapter, verse 42 and 43, we find others that fell to the same thing that Agrippa the first fell to. John 12, 42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers, these are not small people, the chief rulers also, many believed on him. They understood he is the Christ. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Well, the Pharisee was the ruler of the synagogue. He was the preacher for each synagogue. And the Pharisee was the ruler, and he could put anybody out of the synagogue he wanted to. And here are the chief rulers. And they should have had authority, but they didn't, not over each individual synagogue. And so they were afraid of the Pharisee. So the Pharisee had a great clout. They had a great deal of power by being able to put the Jews out of the synagogue. Then they'd be disfellowshipped, and everybody would turn away from them. Well, these chief rulers loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Again, we don't want to fall to these temptations. So Peter was placed in the most secure part of Herod Agrippa I's jail, and the Lord took him out anyway. So God has power over all these officials. We don't need to be concerned about them, but we do need to respect them. And if we have a chance to teach any of these officials, we need to take that chance and testify concerning Christ and the gospel of Christ. All right, we'll have the closing hymn now.